T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get ready.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
I'm Debbie Monterey. Welcome to Friday's Overtime. It's July the 19th, and it definitely feels out there like July the 19th. Amy Markscore is joining me in Studio B.
Hey, good morning.
Along with Michael Kelly.
Hey now, where's Hancock?
I don't know.
What's going on?
Is he on vacation?
He's on vacation.
What? What?
And you know, these Republicans, they hate all this leftist stuff. Where do they all go? Where does Mark Reardon always go? California. Where's Hancock? California.
Or Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
The People's Republic of Wisconsin.
The People's Republic.
Oh, it's funny because we just played a Hancock and Kelly promo in which he's making fun of you for being on vacation.
Is he really?
And then he wasn't here.
We're going to talk to him at 9:15. I think he took NetJets out there. So
took what?
NetJets. You know, a private plane. You know how Hancock travels.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah,
but he said he never has a vacation, though.
Well, come on. He also says that Donald Trump's not a racist. So.
Oh, well, that leads into our first topic. What a segue.
That escalated quickly.
Well, it's the truth.
It's a story.
Well, how about that economy?
Shouldn't he be talking about the economy at his rallies?
Yeah.
But that is not what he's been talking about. And this is a story that has sort of percolated all week long. I'm not exactly sure when he sent the first tweets out. It might have been Sunday night. But yesterday, President Trump now says he was not happy with the send her back chants that broke out at his Trump rally in Greenville, North Carolina, when he began talking about Congresswoman Omar of Minnesota. When pressed, though, on why he didn't stop the chants, he said, "I think I did. I started speaking very quickly."
Importantly, Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
All right, did he start speaking very quickly or let it build to a crescendo?
Oh, come on. Did you guys play hide and seek when you were kids? Right?
Yes.
You got to go count to 10 Mississippi and then you can come out and find us. You can do about 15 Mississippi there. He didn't speak quickly. Look, the president is a racist. What he said in his tweets was racist. He appreciated what was happening at that rally. And, you know, now I know the Trumpers, they want to discount everything about this guy. There's nobody who can defend this. And I have to tell you, let's put aside, you know, my dislike of the president. I was really sick and sad the other night watching that on TV because it just feels like we've crossed a new bridge here of where are we headed? What in the heck is going on in this country? That these are the conversations that are happening from the leader of the free world at rallies that he's taking place at, and to watch the Congress people all hide from it and the Democrats attack on it. What is going on, right? Am I the only one who feels this way?
It was not one of our shining moments.
No, it wasn't a shining moment. I do have to note, I was really impressed that he used the word screed. Because that's a good word. I'm always impressed, and I appreciate a good vocabulary, and usually he doesn't have a wide-ranging vocabulary. So when he pulled out the phrase anti-Semitic screed, my first thing was like, wow, screed. I don't think I use that word. But to get back to the racist undertones / sentiments, of course it was incredibly disturbing, incredibly ignorant for him to tweet what he tweeted and then for the crowd to chant, "Send her back." No, he didn't try to stop it. It is indicative of where we are in our politics today, this extreme polarization where the loudest or excuse me, the most offensive people are the loudest, because I really don't think those chants are indicative of most of Americans.
This is not new, though. People have been racist throughout, blah, blah, blah. And I hear this that, you know, Donald Trump's just a symptom. No, he's the president of the United States. He's the one going to these rallies. He's the one tweeting this nonsense. He's the one that's fomenting this hate out here. And where is the courage of a Mitt Romney? This is a guy who doesn't have to do anything, right? He's made it. He's going to get reelected. That's a decent man who has good values. Why are not people not speaking out against this? Yeah. Put aside Donald Trump. Put aside his policies. Put aside. This is wrong. And where is the pushback from anybody? And it's all coming from Democrats. And then it turns into this conversation of, oh, you know, they just don't like Trump. Yeah. No, this is wrong. And we should all be speaking out at it. I test anyone to watch that stuff the other night and not get sick to your stomach. Unless you're a racist, then you're eating it up.
I do think there are people in America right now who are saying things that they don't truly believe. They're saying things that are reactionary, the first things that come to their mind. You know, you go back to the proverb, right? An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. And I think we've got a lot of offended people, and we have identity politics on one side, identity politics on the other side. And what you have now is you just have this barrage of insults. I think only the radical extreme on each side actually truly believe those sentiments, but you have a lot of irresponsibility and a lot of ignorant behavior that I think if we were to talk things through, which of course is impossible right now, but if we were to talk things through, I think there are a lot more cooler heads in America than are visible right now.
Well, wouldn't it be great if our leaders actually stood up and stopped it? I mean, you know, there are some good, decent people mm-hmm. in Washington, and this isn't a partisan conversation. This is a decency. This is for a fight for the soul of what we all believe. This is humanity. What are we doing?
Well, I have a serious question here, because the president continues to say that these four women, the squad, which I really hate that term. I don't know who came up with that.
I think they came up with it.
Yeah. Whatever. But he keeps saying that they are un-American, that they hate America, and they should leave. So I've been Googling, like, what have they said that is so un-American? What have they said? When have they said they hate the country? And I can't honestly find actual quotes of things that seem like they hate America, Michael. What is he talking about?
With his policies, and they speak out at him. That's what this is all about. If you don't agree with Donald Trump, you're un-American. You and I were talking earlier. I mean, this is a man who says that, you know, talking bad about America is wrong. Let's think about how he ran for president. He was telling all of us that America's gone to hell. We need to make it better again. We need to make America great again. So, you know, that is our First Amendment rights, to be able to speak out. You may not like it, but to take it to the place this guy has, I don't know.
I wouldn't use the term un-American when referring to the squad and what they've said, because we have First Amendment rights. And if there's anything more American than speaking out against the government and complaining, I don't know what there is. However, if you look at the statements and propositions made by AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, and Ilhan Omar, what you're finding is their entire platform is victimization, right? You have AOC talking about how millennials have never experienced the prosperity of America, which is absolutely ridiculous. Millennials are the most educated. They're the wealthiest. They've experienced fewer wars than any other generation. You have Ilhan Omar with flagrantly anti-Semitic comments, whether it was talking about it's all about the Benjamins or questioning the loyalty of Jewish legislatures. And so that was very anti-Semitic. And then you have Rashida Tlaib going in and saying her expletive-laced comment when she was sworn in about impeaching Donald Trump. And so when you find these constant criticisms of how bad America is and how unfair it is, and this constant pandering to victimization, it can feel anti-American. I wouldn't say it's un-American.
I encourage you to go read the president's former tweets prior to being president.
But I agree with
you. Want to talk about a victim? Read the same thing.
I agree with you, though.
Yeah.
Trump uses the same tactics of a witch hunt, of being a victim, and that's why no one has appropriated Trumpian tactics better than AOC.
Get ready for the Cards and Reds tonight. Ameren Total Access 515. First pitch 6:10. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
It's 8:42. Welcome back to round two of OT. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Michael Kelly and Amy Mark Scores.
Hancock's looking awfully good today, man.
He's looking good.
Oh, I mean, it's Amy. I'm sorry.
I was like, why? Where is he? What is he doing?
What is he doing?
He's sleeping in California. I bet he's wearing a blue shirt because I'm wearing a blue shirt today. We seem to dress alike every Friday.
It is weird.
Yeah, like an old couple when you start morphing into
right?
each other.
Isn't
exactly.
it weird? All right, well, let's talk about minimum wage. Yesterday, the House approved a bill that would raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2020. That pay hike was a priority for House Democrats, but not expected to get far in the Republican-controlled Senate. Amy, do you support a minimum wage hike that the Democrats passed?
I don't, and I think it sounds really good. I love the idea of a minimum wage. What I do see is, historically, workers aren't competing against their employers for this minimum wage. Workers are competing against other workers. And so the employability or an unemployability of a worker, for instance, a low-skilled worker, is completely relative to the pay scale. So if you start raising the minimum wage for a low-skilled worker, the company is going to look at that minimum wage and say, well, I can hire now a higher-skilled worker because you're raising the cost of a low-skilled worker without raising the productivity or ability of a low-skilled worker.
Well, Hancock may not be here, but she got his talking points and he's doing a good job for him. Look, that's nonsense. You cannot raise a family on the minimum wage that we have right now in this country. You're bringing up the wages of all for a standard of living. Now, of course, we're going to see inflation's going to happen, and that's going to go up. This needs to be done. The reality here is this $15 by 2025, that's probably going to be too small. And having said that, the Republicans in the United States Senate are never going to do it. So we're having a ridiculous conversation.
But see, I do think it's worth having the conversation because, again, I like the ideal of it, but I'm also a big fan of data. And so when you want to have this conversation, you look at a city like Seattle and you see what's happening in Seattle. Since they raised the minimum wage to $15 an hour, they're losing 3.5 million hours for workers per quarter, and they've lost over 5,000 low-wage jobs. So you're looking at what's happening in other cities where they're raising the minimum wage and saying, is this working out for the workers? Those numbers are in the Wall Street Journal, in case you're wondering.
So if you wanted to pay somebody to clean your toilets, you could pay $15 an hour to somebody with a bachelor's degree instead of a high school diploma.
You could learn something, learn a language while they're cleaning the toilet.
Let's talk about a big race that is coming up in the state of Missouri, and that would be the race for governor. Now, I'm not sure about a potential. Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about yesterday's OT topic with Governor Greitens.
Oh.
If there was a rumor that he were to run again, I really want to be the slogan writer.
Yeah, if there were a primary challenge for Governor Mike Parson, I guess it would be maybe.
No, Michael
maybe.
Kelly's laughing.
Yes. I'd like to join you in that.
Picture me as your governor.
Picture me.
I'm coming in guns blazing.
Y'all tied up with your family?
All right. So I don't know if there'll be a primary challenge on the Republican side. Maybe Eric Schmidt, maybe Eric Greitens challenging Mike Parson. But Missouri Democratic Party telling the Post-Dispatch that Missouri Auditor Nicole Galloway, who, by the way, is the only statewide Democratic office holder right now in the state of Missouri, is planning to run for governor. She has not, as far as I know, made that official yet. Nicole Galloway narrowly defeated Republican Sondra McDowell in the auditor's race in 2018. So let's put on your little strategery hat here. And what do you think, Michael Kelly?
Yeah, I think she can win. And here I'll explain why. Look, it would have been tough prior to this legislative session because you have Mike Parson, who comes in, gets kind of a halo coming in after the disaster that was Eric Greitens. Everybody's willing to give it, does everything right. Then we have this extremist legislature that goes and passes a ban on abortion, even in the cases of rape and incest. Most pro-lifers think that's ridiculous. Mike Parson continues to stand by that, is continuing to stand by this extremist legislature. I think it's not only a wedge issue, I think it's a deadly issue for the governor. In a state that he should want win running away, he's got a serious challenger.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't pretend to be able to prognosticate with this race. I would think that it's going to go Republican, but you just don't know. You look at the Josh Hawley, Claire McCaskill race and how that went, and then the corresponding legislation, right? Like, you had Josh Hawley win, just a runaway victory, but then you do have the vote for medical marijuana or medical cannabis. You have the vote for the pro-union, for pro-minimum wage. So I feel like Missouri is a red state, but it's not your father's Republicans. And so I can see it going either way.
I guess it depends on the legislation, but they'll vote for whatever has an R behind it.
God, I would love my father's Republicans to come back. Sanity. Ugh. People who actually stood for principle rather than demagogues.
All right. Well, I think we have a topic coming up in round three that we can get you both going here.
Ooh.
Because we're going to take it to California.
Hey, now.
Watch out.
Yeah, maybe you can even ask John Hancock about this when he calls in later. It's 848 at the Voice of St. Louis.
In case you'd like to hear more.
There's more.
This is Overtime on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Yes.
Oh, just for you, Michael.
Hey, now.
It's Michael's favorite person.
Have I told you about this guy? And
oh, please,
an incredible
Les.
Human being.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Are you talking about Phil Collins?
It is 8:50. Michael Kelly, Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Debbie Monterey, and let's go to Berkeley, California. Berkeley, California is fun. They are getting rid of manholes. Not actually the manholes, but they're not going to call them that anymore. They're going to call them maintenance holes. The Berkeley City Council just passed a new ordinance banning gendered language from the city code, and manhole, which I honestly never thought of the genesis of that word, but they'll call them maintenance holes. So some other changes include replacing firemen with firefighters, which makes sense if you've got women. How could, you know, do we have a women firemen? That doesn't make sense, I guess. But any instance of he or she then is replaced with they, which just grammatically I have a hard time with making that plural.
And I'm going to be confused with the number.
Right. Like, are we talking about one person or several?
Who is they?
Even the phrase men and women is going to be replaced by people. So, Amy, parse it out for us.
Ah, Berkeley. The wacky city by the sea. You know, I am really, really glad that they are getting rid of this discriminatory use of the word manhole. I've always felt oppressed by it. I've felt that I couldn't be the woman I've always wanted to be. As I walk by a manhole, I'm reminded by the patriarchy and how I want my name on that hole that goes down to the sewer system. I want to be represented. So I'm really glad. No, this is ridiculous. We're getting to a point of, I guess you could call it PC culture, inclusive culture, that's not sustainable. We're going to be spinning in circles at some point when you try to get rid of all gendered pronouns, gender references. And I'm also very confused because I thought we were supposed to celebrate diversity. Men and women are different, but I guess you can't say that anymore. It's all very confusing, but I'm glad we've dealt with the manholes. That was a huge issue, huge, facing our country today.
So my feelings are kind of like, whatever. I don't understand it. And, you know, it's still going to be a manhole to me. I'm still going to call him a fireman.
Even if it's a woman?
Well, or a firefighter. Yeah, sure. I mean, it's just whatever.
I say guys.
I don't get why we're obsessed with this stuff.
Maintenance hole actually does make more sense if you think about it, because you go down in the hole to do maintenance on whatever's down there. I don't really know how because a man goes down in the hole to fix stuff. Is that where that came from?
It's man-made, or a man could fall in the hole because a woman would walk around it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Excellent point, Amy.
I have issues with they because of grammar.
It's confusing.
It is confusing.
Ooh, I'm feeling the need.
Okay, a whole generation of young men that I grew up with wanted to go into the Air Force after this movie. Everybody wanted to be Tom Cruise in Top Gun.
Yes.
I didn't even know that there's a new one coming out, Top Gun Maverick. They released the trailer yesterday, and it's the sequel to the 1986 box office smash Top Gun. Michael Kelly, any interest in seeing 57?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
thank
my God,
you.
Yes.
Amy.
Why not? I mean, come on. It's Top Gun. It was a classic movie. Tom Cruise still looks exactly the same.
You know he who doesn't? Like Kelly McGillis.
Yeah, no, not so much.
Or
not so
Val
much.
Kilmer.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Val Kilmer, not so much. But I'm excited to see it. Heck yeah, I'll be there.
You know whose birthday it is today? Anthony Edwards.
Yes, he, and nobody knows that Goose died and after his death became a doctor. He became a surgeon.
How about that?
I know.
Life after death.
I mean, Top Gun shaped who I am today. I've often said everything I need to know about life I learned from Top Gun. There's just many good lessons. And this one, I'm actually not being sarcastic. Unlike the manhole.
Oh, I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I love Top Gun so much. I wrote a letter.
Because you have a need for speed.
I have a need for speed. I wrote a letter to Tom Cruise when I was little because I loved Maverick. For Halloween, I was Kelly McGillis. And 3 years ago, I kid you not, I cut my hair shoulder length and permed it to try to get it really big. Like her hair was in that movie. It didn't work.
Negative Ghost Rider. It didn't work.
Well, pattern is full.
I'm assuming she is not in this sequel.
I don't know.
She's not.
So.
I was just Googling and they said she's not participating.
Yeah. But oh my gosh, it's going to be so much fun. I mean, how many times have you used lines from Top Gun?
You know who else is in this new Top Gun? John Hamm.
Really?
Yes.
Guess what
suddenly
he's doing?
I'm more interested.
He's just sitting in the background cheering, "Let's go Blues."
You know what I saw? I, against my will, I saw a trailer for a movie that completely, in my opinion, never needed to be made. They made a live action version of Cats.
No. I saw that. And it's got huge stars. Taylor Swift's in it.
And Jennifer Hudson's in it. And it looks creepy.
Right, of course. Well, yeah.
Cats is creepy. Well, as a musical lover and a lover of Andrew Lloyd Webber, that is...
I love music.
I don't like that one.
To quote from Top Gun, "We regret to inform you your sons are dead because they were stupid."
And they went to see Cats. All right. Mark Scores and Kelly up after news at the top.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.